This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Sports Talk, Mike Cost, Jeff Nowak with you until 8 o'clock tonight. And we wish the Tigers were right now in Omaha because they are now to the finals. And we are joined by Glenn West, who is the senior writer at Go247.com. Or as I said, going to break, 247, which is completely different than 24/7. Glenn, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, Tennessee, Texas A&M, as Charlie said earlier, this would be the fifth straight different SEC championship. Says a lot about college baseball than the SEC.
Yeah, it says a lot about college baseball and the SEC, and it says a lot about the schedule that LSU just came off of and during their 2024 season. They played both of these teams in weekend series. They lost both of those. They actually won the Texas A&M series. That was kind of one of the big turnarounds of their season. There was taking 2 out of 3 from the Aggies, but they did lose to Tennessee, and then they lost again in the SEC championship game to Tennessee after making a magical run there in Hoover. So LSU very familiar with both of those teams. It's going to be a very interesting kind of championship series. I think most people that have watched, all season long would say that these are two of the best programs in the country. I would probably lean towards Tennessee winning this series, but, the Aggies are certainly going to put up a big fight even without one of their best players in Braden Montgomery.
Yeah, Glenn, it's just so easy to hate Tennessee. I don't know why. I just find it so easy. I don't know if it's a Tony Vitello thing, if it's like they had that great season a couple years ago and then they fell off a cliff. What do you think about that team this year allowed them to kind of make that leap that it seems like they've been, right on the cusp of each last year?
Yeah, it's just a veteran group. I mean, like, one of the things that I always kind of take away from what Jay Johnson says is, in order to have – championship caliber teams, you need future major leaguers on your roster, but you also need guys that have been in the program for a couple of years that have experienced, all kinds of adversity and just different types of ways seasons go. And, this is a battle tested Tennessee team. You look at their top, three or four players position wise. Those are all guys that have been in the program now for a couple of years. And so they were guys that were, in Omaha last year, losing to LSU in Omaha. So, they're a battle-tested group. I think they came back, very strong. And, look, a part of this is also going in and getting guys out of the portal and developing your own players. And so I think Tennessee's done a really nice job of all those things, and is probably a big reason why that they're sitting where they are right now.
Yeah, just going back to LSU a little bit. Obviously, they've been very busy in the transfer portal. Jay never wastes any time when it comes to that. What are your early thoughts on the transfer class? You kind of have to talk about it almost like a recruiting class now. What are your early thoughts on the transfer class that Jay has brought in? And, what are some of the highlights in terms of what are they trying to address specifically in terms of kind of rebuilding this roster heading into next season?
Sure. Yeah, I think they've been very deliberate in what they've wanted to do so far. I think if you look at the top two needs on this roster right now, considering what's about to leave in the draft and what's already left via the transfer portal, they focus heavily on pitching and on power hitting. Pitching wise, they've got four right-handed arms coming in, Devin Sheeran, Zach Cohen from Wofford, who was an ace that I think could probably wind up being a starter for LSU next year. He's going to be certainly in that mix. They've got a guy named Luke Hayden, who is someone that I think they're going to have to really sweat it out in the draft. You know, he's somebody that can go mid-90s with the fastball, has a really nice curveball in there as well. So he's somebody that is draft eligible that could leave after this year. So they've got about four right-handed pitchers that they brought in, and then they've also Chandler Dorsey is the other one that I forgot to mention there as the pitching side. And they've also got a handful of toolsy outfielders and certainly some power hitters. A guy, Luis Hernandez from Indiana State, hit 23 homers last year, 75 RBIs. He's going to be right in the mix there. You also kind of got to wait it out with him in the draft. I think that's kind of a common theme here for a couple of these big hitters that they've gotten to the program here. You're going to have to wait until after the draft in July. But certainly you look at kind of the direction that LSU's going in right now. I think they have addressed some of their pitching needs. I think they probably would like to add a few more. But also they've also addressed the power hitting, because you're looking at a roster next year that's going to be without Tommy White, without Tayden Travinsky, and very well could be without Jared Jones as well. And those were your three leading home run hitters last year by far. So you've got to find that production and make it up somewhere.
And Glenn, is this kind of the norm now? And I just glanced. I think they have signed seven in the transfer portal, and 12 have left. And that's the new college baseball. I mean, that's 19 different, like 12 go, seven come, and we're not done, right? So I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's the world of college athletics right now. I mean, you can go back to maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I remember sitting in a seat and listening to former LSU basketball coach Will Wade talk about how you have to build rosters a year at a time now. It's really tough to build long-standing programs in terms of guys that are going to stay 2, 3, 4 years. And I think you're certainly seeing that now with the baseball team. You know, they had some continuity there that helped them win a national championship last year. A lot of those pieces now are out the door, and I think it's been I wouldn't say shocking for Jay Johnson to kind of adjust to this, because he's known it was coming, but I think he was a little bit taken off guard in terms of just how many guys would be leaving the program over a 2-year span. It's going to be really tough to replace all that production that you've had over the last couple of years, but it's just the day and age that you're in college athletics. You know, guys can hop in the portal every year now if they're not playing right away. It's really just kind of where we're at right now. And you've seen that also with sports like football as well.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Glenn, just kind of flipping the topic there in terms of the sport, it is interesting, and I talked to Charlie about this yesterday. You know, you have this kind of transfer portal focus in baseball, like every year it's like just reloading. Whereas on the other side of the coin, it seems like Brian Kelly is trying to dial that back to some extent and develop the team through recruiting and through development and kind of supplementing. Like, obviously Jaden Daniels was a transfer. They understand how to bring in transfers, but you look at the offensive line class that they've built going into 2025, and what are your kind of takeaways of that side of the equation? And we don't have to only talk about the transfer portal, but it does seem to be significant that Brian Kelly is very, very kind of drawing a line in the sand here when it comes to the transfer portal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this was a program that took double-digit transfers, each of his first 2 years, basically by necessity. I mean, they had a pretty drained roster his first couple of years in Baton Rouge, and they just had to find guys that would contribute and play at a high level. And I think they hit on a lot of them. You know, Jaden Daniels certainly being at the top of the list, but they also, there's swings and misses in there too. So I think it's the way that Brian Kelly wants to build this program is through freshman classes. I think that's where you're seeing a lot of the resources go for LSU freshmen, and then also retention of their current roster as well. They want to have these guys on campus for a couple of years to really develop them in the program, increase their roles as their seasons go along. And that's just kind of the way they want to do things. They don't want to go into the portal and have to grab 15, 16 guys every year. I think they'll do that if they have to. And certainly in a couple of positions, you look at the roster, you know, interior defensive line, they had to go in and get some guys. They missed on a couple in the spring portal window, but they've also, you know, addressed a lot of their needs that they needed this offseason as well through the portal. So, I think it's just kind of, again, kind of where we're at with college athletics right now. You've got to be able to supplement the transfer portal with your current roster, but really the big focus here in year three in terms of their offseason goals was to try to get as many players back as possible from last year's team, and then also you know, focus on the freshman class, and they signed their biggest freshman class to date under Brian Kelly with 29 guys coming in over the two windows.
Yeah, it's an impressive group. They added a player today, Carius Curran, I think I'm saying that correctly, top-ranked mm-hmm. player in Arkansas, 6'4", 301 pounds. What is your kind of read on him, and what is he bringing to that group?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, look, this is an offensive line that has been really stable for LSU the last couple of years, but what that also means is that all those guys are probably going to be moving on next year. I mean, Will Campbell and Emory Jones are very highly touted guys in the NFL draft for next season. Garrett Dellinger and Miles Frazier are two pieces that have been consistent starters for LSU over the last couple seasons. So you could be looking at a massive overhaul next year. And so LSU's trying to get ahead of that. They signed five guys on the offensive line in 2024, and they've got four here in the 2025 class that are committed. So they're certainly making it an effort. In particular with Kern, you know, we've got him listed as the number, I think, 11 offensive tackle in the country over at 24/7. He's a borderline top 100 player. He goes about 6'4", 300 pounds. Somebody that I think is pretty athletic that could play on the defensive side of the ball as well. LSU will want him for offensive line, but you know, I think that just kind of shows you his versatility and his athleticism. That the fact that he could play both sides of the ball tells you they're getting a pretty good athlete who can be pretty versatile next year for him. So a really nice pickup for LSU at this stage. You know, they're kind of wrapping up their summer official visits here, so where, you know, we could see some more dominoes start to fall in the month of July. But certainly it was a good start by getting Kern here as the 12th commit for the class.
And it's such a different job now with name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal. If you think about where college athletics, but specifically college football, is going to be 5 years from now. I talk to ADs and I talk to coaches, and it's like the first thing they say is, well, after the game, I have to go re-recruit my own locker room, right? Yeah. Hey, coach, I had a great game. So-and-so wants me. Hey, coach, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, can you imagine what that must be like? Every game to have to go re-recruit your own guys, right? Yeah. And then you think 5 years down the road, like, my gosh, what a landscape and how it has changed so fast.
Yeah, it's a 24/7 job now for these coaches to not only recruit future players, but recruit their own rosters as well. And, you know, you mentioned the NIL part of this. That's going to be obviously huge to get that regulated here. Hopefully in 5 years we have some kind of idea of where NIL is going. You know, right now it's really just a free-for-all in terms of guys jumping in the portal and guys requesting this amount of money and to go play somewhere else. I think if there's some regulations there on what schools are allowed to do, how much they're allowed to pay players, then you could start to see maybe some stiffening up of the transfer portal and just the guys that are bolting on a year-in, year-out basis. I think that's probably something that's going to take a little while. I mean, they just now passed that bill that's going to pay, you know, athletes, you know, $2.7 billion that were previous college athletes, you know, that weren't a part of NIL. So like that is all situated now. I think now they can focus on the future and what that looks like in terms of regulations for college football going forward. But those two things are going to be very interwoven here over the next couple of years. In LSU, we'll see if that model works out for them. I think it's probably still too early to call one way or the other, but it's certainly a direction that they plan on not going away from.
Glenn, I'm going to hop back to LSU baseball here. Brady Neal entering the portal, I think, was kind of a surprise, just based off Alex Milazzo and Hayden Travinsky both moving on. You kind of figured that it would have been his job for the upcoming season, but he decides to enter the portal. They go out and get Eddie Yaman from Dayton, who kind of projects as the new kind of starting catcher for this roster. And as you kind of mentioned, they added power to the lineup with that. You're losing guys like Tommy White and Jared Jones in all likelihood. Obviously, Travinsky, as I mentioned earlier. So that was a big kind of piece to the puzzle, I think. But you're now looking at what other moves LSU still has to make in the portal. What are you kind of considering as those big key question marks that they still have to fill on the roster?
Yeah, I would still say catcher is probably an area that they have to address. I mean, they have a couple guys coming in, a JUCO signee named Blaze Priester, and then they also have a freshman or high schooler senior who's going to be a freshman next year, Cade Aaron Beatty. He's somebody that I think is the program's very high on, and they hope to get to campus. It's interesting you mentioned Yaman. He does have some experience playing catcher, but this past season he played predominantly first base, and so I do think that might be a position that LSU continues to look at him at. He could also play catcher because he does have that experience, and I believe he's playing catcher right now up in the Cape Cod as well. So, you know, maybe just refining those tools a little bit after playing first base for an entire season. But I think catcher is still an area where you want to go. I would still look at an infielder for sure. I mean, you're losing Tommy White. You don't know kind of what Michael Braswell, what his future holds. He could wind up signing in the draft as well. So they've got a couple of guys out there that they're looking at to potentially add as an infield option. And then they still need some pitching here too. I mean, I think they go out and they get a couple left-handed arms before things are all said and done.
Have you gauged anything on Griffin Herring in the MLB draft? I know that, you know, Jay had kind of come out and said that if he goes in the top 50, he's going to tell him to go. But if not, you know, is there any chance that Herring returns as, you know, a draft-eligible sophomore that could come back for his junior season after being kind of like that ace in the bullpen and maybe get a starting rotation spot this upcoming year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be the pitch to Griffin, is that you come back as a starter next year and you improve your draft stock in that way. You know, I'm not sure if he comes back and he's going to be a relief pitcher, he's going to improve his stock much. But if he does come back and he's a starter next year and he shows that he can go 6-7 innings on a week-in, week-out basis, that's something that MLB teams are going to take notice of. And you mentioned it there, he's a draft-eligible sophomore. So he'd come back and be a junior where he'd still hold his leverage in the draft in terms of, you know, signing bonus and being able to kind of still get a good payday next year. So he's the one that I think Jay Johnson would love to have back. You know, I think it's probably a little bit of fool's gold to expect Jared Jones to be back in the fold next year. I think he's been really mashing the MLB combine right now. I would imagine some team pays him, you know, $1 million to go start his pro career. But, you know, Griffin Herring is the one out of the draft-eligible sophomores that LSU has on this roster that I think LSU's working really hard to try to get back in the fold.
And then, Glenn, before we cut you loose, just for fun, I think you said that you were leaning Tennessee in the College World Series finals. I mean, one of these two teams is going to win their first championship. It's either going to be Tennessee, Texas A&M in college baseball. And then, as you know, Haas had mentioned earlier about the SEC's dominance, just, you know, five straight years of five different SEC champions. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really has. And it shows you just kind of how it is the preeminent power right now in college baseball. And it kind of puts some extra stock into what Jay Johnson was telling us earlier this year when LSU was sitting at 3-12 in the conference. He said that this is a top 15 team and that in any other league, they'd probably be winning the league. And I think a lot of people looked at them sideways at that time when they were 3-12, but they, you know, credit to them for getting it together and making that NCAA tournament run. But I think you certainly see a lot more stock into what Jay Johnson was saying when you look up and you see, you know, two SEC teams in the college football or the College World Series final here. So very, very interesting, going to be very intrigued to see how it all plays out here over the next couple of days.
Game one, Saturday, 6:30, game two on Sunday, and game three, Monday in Omaha, if needed. Glenn, we appreciate it as always. The portal and the NIL does give us all summer to talk about college sports, so there is the upside to that. Have a great rest of the summer and appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.